Let's turn to Matthew. Matthew 15, verse 7. Matthew 15, verse 7 through verse 20. Matthew 15, 7. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." And after he called the multitude to him, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what enters into the mouth defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit." And Peter answered and said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, "Are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this morning. We ask you for your presence, Lord, to come and be with us. And we need you, Lord, this morning. And we're thankful that we can come together. And we just give you this time. We give you this day. We want to give this day and live this day for you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So in this passage, Jesus basically is correcting the notion of the Pharisees, right? Because the Pharisees were thinking in their heads that what makes people unclean in their idea was what they were eating, you know, what they were doing with their physical body, you know. And that's to them was what made people unclean before the Lord. That's what made people, you know, that's what defiled people and made them unable to stand in the presence of God. But Jesus kind of breaks the idea and says, no, it's not about what you eat, right? It's not what enters into your mouth, but it's what is in your heart that makes you unclean, right? It's not the physical, right? It's, you know, like in today's age, you know, in our church, sometimes, you know, like smoking or drinking, we look at that and we're like, oh, such a sinner, you know? But it's not the act of smoking or drinking, you know, that makes you unclean before the Lord. But Jesus shows us that it's what's in your heart that makes you unclean before God, right? Because God always looks at the heart, right? When Samuel goes to David, right? Yeah, when Samuel goes to Jesse and looks at all his sons, and he sees David, and Samuel's like, "This guy? Seriously?" And God says, you know, man looks at the appearance, but I look at the heart, right? So God looks at the heart. He's not looking at the outside. And Jesus is saying, what is in your heart is what's going to make you unclean before the Lord. So this morning, I wanted us to take a moment just to ask this question, right? What is in your heart? What is in your heart? In Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, this is what King David says. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." And I want us to do that this morning, you know, to go before the Lord and say, "Search us, O Lord, and know our hearts." You know, tell us what is in our hearts. And go ahead, take a moment. Take a moment and think about what is in my heart this morning. Or what has been on my heart lately? For me, lately, what's been on my heart is, I mean, if you have great things in your heart, you know, bless you, right? Praise God, continue, right? But if you have, you know, if we have anything like slander or evil thoughts or lust or, you know, false witness, slanders, you know, we should, you know, think about that, right? For me, what has been on my heart lately is anxiety. I've just been feeling very busy, you know. I'm doing a lot this week, you know, I'm going on the outreach in the morning with the youth group. And then Cambodia is right next Monday, and I'm like, I don't have enough time. And I have start feeling very anxious. And I realize it stems from the lack of trust, right? Pastor Sam, I don't know if he talked about it in the second service. He mentioned it in the first service. He said unbelief is the sin, is a sin for which, the consequence of it or the punishment of it, it's a sin for which it is its own punishment, right? Because unbelief, well, it leads you to, you know, fear and anxiety and like lack of joy and all these things. And he was saying, you know, unbelief is a sin, but it's its very own punishment because it leads us to all those things, right? You know, fear, anxiety, stuff like that. And I can see how, you know, and he asked the question, are you walking in the joy of the Lord these days? And I'm like, I don't think I am, because I'm walking in a lot of like fear. And so I really, I need God, right? I need to repent and stuff like that. And I mean, you know, I just need to turn to God and really learn to trust Him. Because if I trusted Him, because I know that God is for me, not against me. So even if, you know, I'm going to Cambodia, I'm leading this team, and I can be worried, I can be anxious, but if I can just trust God that He's for me, not against me, that He is watching over me, even if this trip is really bad, my life is in His hands, right? And I'm going to be okay. So I just need to trust God, you know? But anyway, that's about me. But, you know, Jesus has been talking about our heart, right? And this past Sunday, we talked about being fully committed to the Lord. And in the second service, 2 p.m. service, you know how we worship and we wait on the Lord for a word from God. We had a brother come up to the front, and he read us this passage, 2 Chronicles, verse 6, or chapter 16, verse 9. Very famous passage, right? It says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His." And I thought it was so appropriate. I totally thought it was God speaking. He didn't know that P. Sam was going to talk about being fully committed to the Lord. And he comes up and he says, "This is what I have from the Lord," right? And God is looking for people whose heart is completely His, whose hearts are fully the Lord's. And that's kind of what Jesus is talking about, right? In today's passage, he quotes Isaiah and he says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And this is what Jesus says, "In vain they are worshiping me," right? And I hope that none of us ever get that from the Lord. That we, you know, that what we do on Sunday, what we do at EMP and at house church and all that stuff, that Jesus wouldn't look at that and say, "In vain they are worshiping me because their heart is far from me." That it's just lip service, right? And so I've been thinking about the heart. And what does it mean? You know, we always use that word heart. You know, we use it in many different ways. These are some of the examples. We talk about a heartfelt response, right? We talk about someone giving a heartfelt response. And we talk about, you know, we say things like the heart of the matter, right? We say the heart of the matter, which is like the core, right? The center of the matter. You know, we talk about having a heart-to-heart conversation, right? A heart-to-heart, that's like deep conversation, right? Really opening up. And we talk about someone, you know, being heartless if they're really mean, if they're really cruel. This person is heartless. Or, you know, we say, "Oh, you know, I did this, but my heart is not in it," you know? And all those expressions kind of talk about the heart being the very core of who you are, the very center of who we are. And Jesus is saying that God wants our heart, right? He wants the very center of all of us. He wants the very core. And if we could turn to one more passage, please, in Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33, verse 13 and 15. It says, "The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all. He who understands all their works." So I've been asking, I've kind of been meditating on this whole thing about the heart. And I came across this passage. And I believe the reason why God wants us to worship him from our heart, he wants our heart near him, is because he made our hearts, right? God is the one who fashioned our hearts. He created our hearts, and our hearts belong to him, right? He created it for him. You know, in our hearts, there's the ability to feel joy. There's the ability to feel passionate. There's the ability to be excited and to have pleasure. But all these things that's in our heart, it was made for him, right? So in another one, you know, he created our heart and he created us with the capacity for joy and for excitement and for passion. But his original idea was that those capacities will be for God. You know, basically that we would be passionate about God, that we would be excited for him. We would have joy and pleasure in him. But, you know, so often we give our heart to other things, right? In Matthew 5:21, Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And we give ourselves to all these other material treasures, or, you know, it could be relationships, whatever, right? But we give ourselves to all these other things. And we've kind of missed God's original design kind of thing, you know, because he's the one that fashioned our hearts. He created our hearts for him. You know, initially his idea was that our hearts would be fulfilled in him, but we give it so often to other things. And so what do we do, right? If our heart is not close to God, what do we do? And that's also something I've been thinking about. Like, what do we do? You know, I want it to come to EMP. I want it to be like, this and this and this is, you need to do this to have your heart fully God's. But I don't think there is a formula. I'm like, I don't think there is a formula. Most of Christian life, there is no real formula, right? You know, pastors, I think, always like to give a formula, you know, step one, two, and three. But I don't think it usually works like that. And I think, you know, if we are in a place where we feel like our heart's not completely God's, we just need to cry out, you know. We need to get desperate. One thing we can do is have an alarm, a red light kind of thing going, a red flag saying, hey, you know, my heart's not fully God's. You know, my heart is not really in this whole thing with worship, and I don't know if my heart is close to God. Then we should have this red flag warning thing. And then we need to cry out to God. We need to get desperate and say, God, I don't know what's going on. And I think that's what we can do. One thing we don't want to do is feel guilty, because I think the way we can have this heartfelt passion for God is by understanding his passion for us. I'll share one story and we'll close. This pastor couple, they went to this conference, and this prophetic person was there, and he was ministering so powerfully and so accurately that they were so blessed. I'm kind of butchering the story, but you'll get the idea. And I think they invite another couple or something, and they get so blessed that the word is so accurate, right? And they're so blessed, and they come to this other pastor couple, and you know, he gives a word to the pastor, the husband, which is really wonderful. But then he comes to the wife and he says, you know, in the past, you committed a grave sin, like a huge sin. And the wife is, her heart sinks, right? She's like, oh, crap. And the whole congregation is like worried. They're like looking around, what's going on? And then the prophetic, or the prophet, he says, the prophet continues on, and he says, you know, so I asked the Lord, you know, what was the sin? And this is what the Lord said. The Lord said, I do not remember. Right? And no, the wife has been living with this guilt and this pain over this sin for a long time. And the Lord comes to her and says, I don't remember. You know, it's in the Word that God will not remember our sins, right? If we go before the Lord, if we confess our sins. So, you know, God doesn't remember our sin, right? He loves us. And he says actually in the Bible it says he will never be angry with us anymore, but that he will rejoice over us and love us, right? So don't feel, there's no need for you feeling guilty, but I think, you know, if we feel that our heart's not close to God, let's really cry out to him, because he will come, right? God says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you, right? So this morning, Sam's going to come and lead us in a worship. Let's meditate on the Lord and just cry out to him together. Let's pray for our church together. Let's pray that SP, you know, our church members, all of us, we would be, you know, our hearts would be close to God. You know, that we won't give Him lip service, that we won't just honor Him with our lips, but then from the bottom of our hearts, you know, with everything that we are, we would worship Him and we would love Him. So let's pray for our church, that we would be a church, we would be that kind of a church, that kind of people. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our elder board. That's like our leadership board. Let's pray that they would really hear from the Lord in making decisions for the church. And let's just cover them, right? You know, with leadership and with authority, you know, it comes attack from the enemy. And let's just cover our leaders, our elder board, that they would stay really close to God, really in love with God, and that they would hear from the Lord in making decisions. I'm not 100% sure who's on the board, so I don't want to mention the names, but if you could just cover the elder board for us. Thank you. Let's pray together. Let's pray for Pastor Sam Song. He had surgery yesterday, and he's spending the night. He spent the night last night. He's getting released today, and everything was good. Surgery was fine. He's doing okay. But let's just pray that he would be able to get rested and fully healed quickly. And then also, if you can lift up Godwin and Rebecca. You know, Godwin's a YWAM missionary, right? And I don't know how much detail I can tell you, but Rebecca is in the hospital, and they're just going through a tough time right now. If you could just lift them up, please, and just cover them. Pray for God's protection over them, and just for God's strength, especially to be with Rebecca. So let's just cover our pastor and also Godwin and Rebecca. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. And we just want to trust you in all that we do. And help us to really love you, God, with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Not a lip service, God, to you, but Lord, from really genuinely from our heart. And just draw us closer to you. God, we want to draw close to you as well. So we give you our hearts, our lives. Be with us today. I just pray for your protection over each and every person, your blessing over each and every person, your favor, and your presence to go before each person here, God, and all that they do today. And we want to bring joy to your heart today. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today. Thank you.